This never happens to me, but it did yesterday. I went on a road trip yesterday, and I was on the road for about an hour, and I really, really had to pee, really badly. And there were no big, like, you know, those service areas, you know, with all the big restaurants and they have gasoline. And there was none of that. There's just nothing. So I pulled to the side of the road and I see this gas station because I'm running out of gas. I need to fill my gas tank up, and I'm filling up my gas tank and I'm having a good time. Little drops of ethyl alcohol on my shoes, that kind of thing, you know, the leaky pump. Blah, 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 blah. But I really had to pee badly. So I ran inside this gas station, and some greasy guy is there. He's got grease all over him, and I guess that makes him authentic. You don't want to go to a service station and see a guy there who looks like incredibly clean. Like, what do you do all day? Let's see some dirt, baby. So I said to him, can I use your bathroom? And he said, I think it was English. He said, I don't, it's my... And so I went around the back, and he gives me this gigantic, he gives me a key that's connected to a large piece of wood. As if I wanted to, why in the world, first of all, would I want to steal a bathroom key? I have no idea. It's not like I collect them or anything. But if it's attached to a big piece of wood, this is supposed to make me not want a bathroom key for my very own. I don't even understand the whole concept. So I go to the back of the building. There's this junk in the back. There's like old tires and tire rims and pieces of cars and grass that hasn't been mowed since probably the 16th century. It was disgusting back there. And so I open the door with the key, you know, hole in this big piece of wood that's attached to it. And it just stinks. And it's like some kind of massacre occurred there. It was like someone gutted a bull inside this room. It was disgusting. It smelled like formaldehyde in there. It was awful. And to this day, when I left, I picked up the odor with me. And when I got home, I showered like 20 times in a row, just hoping to get this smell of death off my clothing. It just was horrible. So how are you?
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
So what did you do yesterday?
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Right. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. Okay. If you like that sort of thing.
Okay, whatever you say.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. It is.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you? Come into my aura. How you doing? Sit down. Would you like something to eat? I have a little leftover egg salad. Oh, yuck. No one should ever have leftover egg salad. That stuff's nasty, even when it's not leftover. The smell. Oh, my God. Oh, I think that bathroom at the gas station smelled a little bit like old egg salad as well. Oh, what a horrible concept. If you're going to eat an egg, eat it, get it over with, and get out of my face. Don't keep it for days and then offer it to somebody just because they're listening to your radio program. Wow, that's low. Speaking of low, how are you? Good to be with you. You've made a choice here, haven't you? It can't all be winners, can they? Well, this one will be. We got a great show today. Toward the end of the program, we're going to speak to a wonderful guest, and it's just going to be lovely. Unfortunately, I have to point out the fire exits because that is a regulation for listening to these shows. It's not my choice. I have to have a fire extinguisher in the corner of the studio, and I have to play this disclaimer.
This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you for coming. Your waiter will be along shortly. Please be advised that the Ron Van Dam Show has been designated as a non-smoking area. Please watch your step while boarding the Ron Van Dam Show, as contents may have shifted during travel. In clinical studies, the Ron Van Dam Show has not been shown to reduce cholesterol in laboratory animals. Exits are located to the rear on the left and right sides of the auditorium. The sea bass is steamed and served with a white truffle risotto. Illinois residents add 5% sales tax. Shake before serving. If dizziness or swelling occur, stop using the Ron Van Dam Show immediately. Proper ID is required. No cover charge after 10 p.m. Moo. Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show may require you to lift objects weighing 15 pounds or more. Please remain seated until the Ron Van Dam Show comes to a complete stop.
Okay. There'll be a test on that toward the end of the program. Hope you were listening. Valuable prizes are yours if you were. And then, of course, we'll be giving away that vacation. Well, here's what? I don't understand something. Maybe you can explain it to me sometime. During the last week of August, there was Hurricane Harvey, which hit the Gulf of Mexico, Texas, horrible flooding. The hurricane just said, I like it here in Texas. I think I'll stay for a week. Not good. Not good. More liquid than that area of the country could possibly handle. And there was flooding and devastation and deaths. Before the hurricane slammed into the Texas area, it had a field day in the Gulf. In the Gulf of Mexico, it's their Gulf apparently, it's not the Gulf of Texas, it's the Gulf of Mexico, it's their Gulf. They take care of it, they clean it. They put the chlorine in it so you can swim in it. That's their responsibility. It's the Gulf of Mexico. We have our oil refineries there. That's where we get our gasoline from. We take the oil, we refine it, and we turn it into gasoline. Gasoline. We put all kinds of additives in it, like sugar substitutes and things, and all this kind of stuff, and we make it gasolinable for your car. That's my own word, gasolinable. Well, Hurricane Harvey hits it, so they shut down the refineries. Wasn't a large amount of damage really at all. They just shut them down for the safety of the oil refinery crews. They were abandoned for about a week, and then there were some minor things going on. They had to get them back online and start refining that oil again. Gas prices were very, very low. They were wonderfully low. They were danceably low. They were good low. It was almost like everything can go wrong, but if gas prices stay low, how bad can life be? It was like that for quite some time. Then the Hurricane Harvey hits, and all of a sudden the gas prices skyrocket. About 60 cents a gallon on the average. Skyrocket, because we're not refining the oil. We're just living off of what we had in supply. There's no new supply coming down the line because the refineries are closed. I don't know how long they were closed for. I've tried to Google this information. I've made phone calls. Nobody seems to know, or they're sworn to secrecy, like Area 51. I don't know why no one talks about how long it took to get the oil refineries back online so that they could refine the oil to make gasoline. As I sit here today in my studio, as you listen to this program today, It is approximately 2 months later. 2 freaking months. I know that all the refineries are back online. I've been told by experts that once the refineries are back online, they have to bring the level of the supply back up to where it was before. And that takes time. And I said, how much time does that take? 45 minutes? An hour and a half? I mean, I'll go like maybe 5 hours and 23 minutes if you really want to. How long does it take to get your supply back up? Well, Ron, that takes days and weeks. Okay, days and weeks have passed. We're kissing November. I can feel the lips of November, which is a good 2 full months later. Gas prices have dropped a little bit, not a lot, a little bit, not back to where they were. And I'm always untrusting of big business because the idea of business is for them to make money. That's why you go into business, so you can put money in your pocket, put your kids through school, and live in a big estate for the rest of your life and not care about people that don't have money. That's how we work it. That's called trickle nothing down. That's the trickle nothing down economy. So I get the big business thing. You know, keep the prices high. Any excuse you have to keep the prices high, that's more money in our pocket. Our costs of refining are still low, but we'll charge them more. We're not going to bring the prices down that fast. We're putting money in our pocket here, babe. People are paying these prices, fools that they are. OPEC has not raised the price of oil or anything like that. We don't even buy that much oil from them anymore. We do our own. We make our own stuff here, you know. We make our own egg salad. So I say to any of you that are experts in this field, are we being manipulated as we are by everybody else? Why are gas prices still high as I sit here today? But that's not my only complaint on higher prices. If you've noticed, when President Trump, it's so hard for me to say that, I cannot put my brain around the fact that this actually occurred. I still can't. I'm sorry. I know that there were no alternatives. I don't want to go through this again. I don't, and I do, but I don't. So you're stuck with what you got. You know, I get it. I get it. I get it. I just can't say his name, okay? That's all. I can't look at his face, and I can't say his name. Sorry. Maybe I just have a problem. When he became president, everybody thought that the stock market was going to go through the floor, downward, drop, tank. It didn't, because he represents big business, because he says he's a successful businessman, which, believe me, is a matter of opinion. The stock market went higher. And since his presidency began back in January, actually since he won the election in November, the market has gone steadily upward. There's been some bumps and grinds, but basically up. It seems like the worse he does as a president, the higher the stock market goes. All the stock market is concerned about is whether Trump puts more money in the pockets of these businesses. That's the thing. And apparently he's, you know, says that he's trying to do that. Stock market is now at record highs ever. For 5 weeks in a row, it keeps topping itself. But not just the Dow Jones Industrials. Oh, that wasn't easy to say. But also the S&P, which is kind of more of a barometer of how businesses are doing. But if business is doing so well, if the stock market keeps breaking its own highs, why are savings accounts not going up in interest at all? What's up with that? Is there something wrong? Before 2008, you could put money in a bank in a savings account, and you could make about 5%, sometimes even 7-8% on that. In other words, you could put money in the bank, Just don't touch it, and it will grow. You will have more money than you did the day before. You'll have more money than you did the month before or the year before. Don't touch it. Your money will grow. What a wonderful concept. Then came 2008 with the bank debacle thing. Since then, the rates for savings accounts are less than 1%. They're less than 0.5%. They're less than 0.25%. You're making maybe pocket change, maybe. Other than that, your money does not grow. Let's just say your money does not grow. That's 2008. Now we're on the doorstep of 2018, 10 years later, and the savings interest rate has basically not changed. Hasn't really even inched up at all. 10 years later, stock markets through the roof successfully. Savings account? Nothing. Nothing. You can't save money. That's depressing to a human being. That's depressing. That's depressing to a human being. And there has got to be a reason why savings account percentages interest has not gone up. The economy's doing better, but nothing changes. Now, I'm not an economist. I did take that as a subject in school, but I slept through it, so I guess that doesn't count. So I don't know much about it. All I know is the end result, and when I put my money in a bank, it don't grow. Before 2008, it grew nicely. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And when these big companies make all this money because the economy is good, does that quote-unquote trickle down to the employee? No, it doesn't. It stays in the pocket of the business owners. They make more money. You make the same. Actually, you make less because the cost of living goes up, but your paycheck doesn't go up accordingly in most cases. So riddle me this, Batman. What are you doing? What are you doing? I don't know. People aren't asking questions anymore. They're just riding with the thing. They're riding with the stuff. They're like just riding in the back seat. We used to drive the economy. We used to drive the country. Now we're just sitting in the back seat because there's a maniac behind the wheel. And all we're doing in the back seat is buckling up and keeping our fingers crossed. Hey, so how you doing? You doing all right? Good to hear you.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
That's not true. I haven't said any bad words at all. Oh, music stop. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. I do this every single weekday morning. Sympathy for the devil. Please make this a habit. And the great thing about this kind of thing is that you can listen at any time of day. It's not like you missed it or anything. Anytime you get home from work, before you go to work in the morning, in your car, whatever the case may be, while you're having dinner, you're trying to go to sleep at night, you can't fall asleep, put this show on. I guarantee you'll be asleep in about 3 minutes. There's really no question about that. And you can find us everywhere on your laptop, your desktop, your high top, your black top, your every kind of top. You can smartphones, stuff, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the Podbean Network. You can find us on the Amazon Alexa thing. I'm probably in your closet. I'm across the street with binoculars, with Sears. We have a new website. I don't know if you visited yet. Maybe you're listening to this on the new website. NewEnglandBroadcasting.com. That's our new site. I mean, that was our old site too, but now it's new. There, we've picked up many other wonderful syndicated talk programs available on the site as well. So listen to them. They're fascinating. Very fascinating. Very fascinating. Got a couple of people we're going to be talking to today. Have you had your flu shot yet? No? What the hell's wrong with you? The winter's coming. What's the matter with you? Get a flu shot. What's your problem? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Come on, that's stupid. You can get a flu shot anywhere now. You can get it from your doctor. You can get it in a supermarket. You can get it in a pharmacy. You can get it in a smoke shop. You can get it in a brothel. You can get a strip club. You can get it everywhere. At a deli. Pound of bologna. Flu shot. What the hell? Get a flu shot. Just do it. Dr. Luis Romano joins us now. And we're talking about the flu and how that affects people. He's the medical affairs director with Influenza Vaccines, GSK. And the flu season, has that begun or is that about to begin?
It's just starting. So it usually runs from October to May, but right now is the best time to get vaccinated.
Okay. Does the strain change once the season has begun? In other words, are there updates or this is it? This is the formulation for this year?
Yeah, so we have the formulation for this year was established a few months ago. Uh-huh. But yes, you're right. The viruses can mutate and can change. But even if influenza is unpredictable, what we do know is that the vaccine is the best tool available to help prevent this disease.
Right. Okay. And of course, the flu is something that we're all familiar with, and most of us have had it at some point in our lives to some extent. But it can become quite severe if you have health issues. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. So there are high-risk groups for flu-related complications. Young kids, especially those younger than 5 years of age, if you have chronic medical condition, also the elderly are at high risk for flu-related complications.
Okay. All right. Now, every year we go through this because there are people who say, No. The flu will actually give you the flu. It makes you sick. And I'm not doing that. And there's always a message to those people.
Yeah, it's very important. It's a very common misconception. Mm-hmm. So this year, the recommended vaccines, all of them are formulated with killed or inactivated viruses. So they cannot cause an infection.
Okay. What about people who claim that they have egg allergies and they believe that there are eggs involved?
Yeah, it's very important. There are many questions around the flu. The most important thing is to talk to your pharmacist, talk to your healthcare provider, and they will be able to inform you which vaccine is the best for you to protect you and your family.
Yeah, and that's interesting because it wasn't that long ago where you had to go to a physician in order to get the flu inoculation, and now you can go to a pharmacy. I've even seen them performed in grocery stores at the checkout lane.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and as you mentioned, now we have several options to get the flu and get vaccinated, so there are no excuses.
Yeah. Doctor, why is it always an inoculation as opposed to other forms such as a nasal spray, something like that?
Yeah, so there are other administrations, techniques, but right now the recommended vaccines, all of them are with a syringe and a needle, but it's a very interesting area of research on how to use different or newer and innovative ways of administering vaccines. But for this season, all the vaccines are administered via like a flu shot.
Okay. You know, to me, if you don't get your child vaccinated, then, I mean, I'm not going to say it's child abuse, but that child can't walk into a physician's office and get their own shots because they can hardly walk at all at that point. So it really, I mean, the parents are the ones that have to be convinced that, no, you know, do this for your child.
Yes, you're absolutely right. So the flu vaccine is not only about protecting ourselves, it's also about protecting our family, our loved ones, and the community.
What about, now, let's talk about the younger kids as we start talking about them. At what age can you start bringing your child in for flu vaccines?
So the CDC recommends that all persons aged 6 months and above should get the flu vaccine every year.
Wow, that's young. Okay. And if you're an adult, I guess there are other things you can get, like pneumonia and things like that, and there are extra inoculations you can get at the same time. Is that right?
Yes. So adult vaccination, it's a very interesting topic. Adults, many people think that vaccines are only for kids, and that's just not true anymore. There are vaccines indicated for adolescents. There are vaccines that are recommended for adults and for older adults. So it's very important that you talk to your healthcare provider and find out how to help you protect against all these vaccine-preventable diseases.
All right, so if someone said, I'm going to get the flu vaccine, but I'm going to wait a little bit until they know exactly what the strain is, that's not the case. Is that right? That's nothing to wait for.
Yeah, you should not wait. The CDC recommends that you should get vaccinated before the virus is circulating in the community. So right now is the best time to get vaccinated.
Okay. And apparently in this country, everybody's got some form of health insurance, so it probably doesn't cost them much or anything. So there's kind of really no excuse other than people not being well informed.
That's right. So it's very important, that if you have any questions regarding the flu, the disease, or the flu vaccines, talk to your healthcare provider, talk to your pharmacist. There are also like very good information at the CDC flu website at cdc.gov, and there you can find very complete information on the disease and how to reduce the risk of getting this disease.
Well, doctor, you've done the job of informing us, and we consider us informed.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Have a good
day. Stay healthy.
All right, bye-bye. Okay.
All
right, Doc. Okay. All right. We go from there to taking care of your medicine cabinet. I don't even have a medicine cabinet. I just have like a plastic little bin with all the crap in it. When you do go through your medicine cabinet, you got to be careful because the kids can, if you have kids, they can eat the stuff in there, the pills. You don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want, even is it, you don't want your teenagers even in there. Lock everything up. Lock your kids in the closet. My God, that's even easier. Just let them out for meals. Not even slipping under the door. You know what I'm saying? When's the last time you took a look at the stuff in your medicine cabinet? Do you ever do that? Do you ever go to somebody's house, like a party or something, and you're in the bathroom and you close the door and you lock the door and you say, I think I'll take a look and see what's in the medicine cabinet. And if you don't clean that out, it says a lot about you. Ooh, you don't want people to know your inside story with your medications and all that stuff. And especially those little tubes of creams and lotions. And Dr. Red Krenzelok joins us now. He's with PharmD. And we're talking about a medicine cabinet makeover. And I don't think we're just talking about the mirrors here, are we?
I think you're absolutely right. Ironically, the medicine cabinet probably isn't the best place to keep your medicine, because think about the environment in a bathroom. There's heat, there's moisture, there's light, there's everything. And those things are really tough on, especially prescription medications. The other thing that really concerns me is the fact that medicine cabinets aren't childproof. And people say, well, my child would never get up to that medicine cabinet. But believe me, that aggressive 2 or 3 or 4 year old climbs from the toilet, you know, from the commode to the sink to the medicine cabinet. And so we need to avert a tragedy by keeping important medications out of the medicine cabinet.
That's a good point. But then where do we put them, doctor? Where would we put these medicines?
Well, it's a good point as well, and a good question. I think a lot of products have child-resistant closures on. So if you're using things for cough and cold in this season and so on, it's in a child-resistant closure. It's probably okay to keep in your medicine cabinet, but be careful. Otherwise, keep them up and out of the reach of a child, maybe on a high shelf, in a box, someplace that's convenient for you, not at the bedside, but convenient for you, but not available to a child.
Sounds good. Okay. So wherever you do keep your medicines, whether it be in a cabinet or some secure area that other people can't get into necessarily, how often should you be going through these things? Because we have a lot of medications that we buy or prescribed that we kind of may never use ever, and then they just sit there for a long time.
They do, and I think look at the expiration date on the bottle if it's a non-prescription medication. Prescription medications are probably good for a year. When you've used most of your antibiotics, and you say, well, I feel good, I'm not using the rest of my antibiotics, that's a good time to get rid of them. Don't keep those two or three tablets or capsules for the next time.
All right. Here's the magic question that I've pondered all of my life. When I do this, I'm saying to myself, if I did take one of these medications past their expiration date, would it be A, dangerous, or B, ineffective?
Well, the answer is yes to both. It more than likely it's still going to be effective. It probably won't be dangerous, but there are medications that can become dangerous with time as their sort of their character changes.
Okay. All right. So you go through them. Now, I go through them, and I have a particular number of bottles that I wish to discard. Where do I discard them?
Well, I think the best thing to do is contact the pharmacist that you trust and use on a frequent basis. Communities also have these take-back programs, and I think a take-back program would be a really good place. Contact them. They'll allow you to bring medications in there, and they'll destroy or dispose of them properly.
Okay. All right. Do you stock up on medications, or do you say to yourself, I'll go get them when I need them? Other than that, I really don't need them around.
Well, I think it depends. With the cold and cough season upon us, I think there's some good things that you should have around your home in the event that you do have a cold. Remember that the foundation of good health is good oral hygiene. For example, Colgate has a new product. It's a mouthwash that is a shake-to-activate product. When you shake it up, you get this powerful mouthwash, and it actually removes 24 times more bacteria than, say, a traditional mouthwash. And when you expectorate it into the sink, you can actually see the results. The bacterial debris comes into the sink.
Yuck.
Another good product to have around, and I like to discuss this, is Coldies, and it's a zinc lozenge. Pharmacists have named it the number one recommended brand of zinc gluconate. And what it is, zinc actually reduces the duration of a cold. So it's an excellent product to have around in anticipation of a cold. So at your first signs and symptoms of a cold, you take some Coldies, and it'll actually shorten the duration of your cold significantly.
Okay. See, in the winter, I never know if I have a cold or if I have allergies. Because the symptoms are kind of exactly the same.
They are very similar, and I guess that's one of those things that your body will let you know. If you have a fever and so on, you probably have a cold. If you don't, it could be an allergy as well.
All right. But the best thing to do is when you feel it, the onset of it, then a Coldies would work. What about after I have it? It's the zinc's still good, right?
The zinc is still good. It's good for you. Check the expiration label on your box. Hey, you know, another good thing to have around, we have all these colds every year.
Right.
And often antibiotics are prescribed inappropriately. We talked about, you know, having an antibiotic or two left over. Get rid of those.
Yes.
But antibiotics can really disrupt your balance of friendly and unfriendly bacteria in your digestive tract and create a lot of discomfort. So if you're on antibiotics, I would always recommend that you take a probiotic. And even it's a good habit to get into to take a probiotic every day. If you want to find out which one is the best for you, if you go to SwansonVitamins.com, you can take a quiz and it'll say, hey, this is the best one for you, Ron, given the circumstances in your life.
Oh, that's good. That's great. I'm glad the internet is good for something.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fine. That's important because, that's important stuff. Interesting. Yeah, when I go to the pharmacy, I see all the vitamins in front of me, and I don't know which brand to trust and that kind of thing. But so this kind of helps in that sense.
Sure, and again, use your pharmacist. Your pharmacist will be able to give you good advice as to what's a good product. Yeah. I think they're kind of an underutilized healthcare professional.
You know, you're a doctor. I hate to say this, but I'd rather see my pharmacist than my physician. I know that's horrible, and they can't diagnose and that kind of thing, but they seem to be a little more consumer-friendly, should I say?
They are. I think they're user-friendly, and I would recommend for minor maladies such as colds and things of that nature, always talk to your pharmacist, and you'll get good advice, good product, and you'll probably save a lot of money as well.
Yeah, and that's where I get my flu shots, too. It's kind of a lot easier. Why not?
I agree. Yeah. Good plan, Ron.
Good, yeah. I try to plan things out. You know, that's what I try to do. Okay, well, that's some good information. All of that is good. So check your medicine cabinet, check the your medications, and make sure you have things for the winter in case you need them, because you don't feel like going out when you're, like, got a cold. That's for darn sure.
Exactly. And if you want a recap of everything we've talked about today, you go to betterstuffforlife.com, and it will basically discuss and reiterate all the things that you and I talked about.
Betterstuffforlife.com,
yep.
I like that. I like that very much.
Yeah.
It's
thank you.
Again, it's a layman term kind of thing.
It is.
I love it. Okay. Hey, thank you so much for your time today. Good conversation. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, you take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with another show. Hope you join me then. We'll get a little crazier at that time. Until then, I wish you peace. Finish, here it comes. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Thank you so much for being here today.
Whatever.